You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Casey. The pandemic has had such a wide-ranging impact on so many things in our lives. And one of those is how work is getting done. Our guest today is Carrie Hannon. She has a new book, Great Pajama Jobs, on how working virtually opens up new possibilities for people who want to work longer. Carrie Hannon is a leading authority and strategist on career transitions, entrepreneurship, personal finance, and retirement. She is a frequent TV and radio commentator and a sought-after keynote speaker at conferences. Carrie is the best-selling and award-winning author of 14 books, including Never Too Old to Get Rich, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Starting a Business Midlife, which was a number one bestseller on Amazon. Carrie is currently an expert columnist and regular contributor to the New York Times, MarketWatch, and Forbes. She is the personal finance and entrepreneur expert for the PBS website nextavenue.org, and her areas of expertise include entrepreneurship, personal finance, retirement, wealth management, and career transition. Her advice as a work and jobs expert is a regular feature in AARP publications. Carrie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, Joe, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
And your latest book, Great Pajama Jobs, is so timely. Older workers have been hard by the pandemic. Yet you point out that growth in working remotely can create new options for many people. What are the benefits of working remotely for mature workers, and what's the upside for employers?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that because it is amazing. I really, truly believe that for older workers, the opportunity to work remotely offers several benefits that you might not have considered. And the number one really is truly getting at the core of ageism, right? This is the ism that everybody, it's been around forever. Nobody really talks about it in a concrete way that it helps, you know, move the ball forward, but we're all very acutely aware of it. Here's the deal. When you're working remotely, you have the opportunity to be judged on your performance and on your productivity. And there's not those subliminal messages that kind of come through when you're in the workplace and you are, you know, an experienced worker, you have a certain age, maybe you have some gray hairs or some, your skin isn't quite as fresh and taut as somebody who's in their 20s or 30s. And so there's not that contrast of age and experience, right? Youth and experience right next to each other. So you're not being judged on though by a cover, but really what's inside and what you produce. So it sounds a little simplistic, but I honestly think this offers a great opportunity for experienced workers to be considered on an even playing field by their performance. I also believe some of the other benefits are, say, when we all do go back to the office, or at least some of us are back in the office, for somebody of a certain age, you know, it's wonderful to not have to deal with a long commute or maybe having to drive home in the dark because your eyes aren't so great. Trust me, my eyes aren't so great. I hate night driving. And little things like that. So it can make your life that much easier. And it also gives you, I have found over the years of working on jobs for people over 50 and interviewing people and researching it, that the thing that makes somebody really, truly love their job, especially in this age cohort, is having the flexibility and the autonomy to be a grown-up, to choose when you work, how you work, and where you work. And so having that freedom is a huge piece of job satisfaction. And so when you work remotely, you often have that capability to work the hours that fit into your lifestyle and also work alongside with the employer. So I think those are some really important pieces to consider. I will quickly say that for an employer, I think the huge benefits are that you have an experienced worker on your team that you don't have to ramp up, you don't have to train, they're ready to hit the ground running. And it's quite easy to be able to monitor their productivity without having these questions of, you know, will they fit in with the younger kids, right? There's not that sort of culture disconnect that might happen within an office setting.
So in your new book, you identify some very interesting jobs and sectors like healthcare where there's growing demand for remote workers. Do you see opportunities for people to redeploy their skills in new areas while shifting to remote work?
You absolutely have to. Today's work world is so fluid and things are changing. Jobs are being transformed all of the time. So you can't be stuck in a moment. You can't try to replicate your old job. If you've been laid off in this pandemic, or if you have found that your job has gone away because of automation or what have you, the point is everything is fluid and it's constantly changing. So you have to be always looking at, okay, let's do that MRI. What are my skills? What am I really good at? And sometimes we don't even recognize what our true skills are because we take them for granted. And you may have to ask people around you to give you some input into what some of those things are. Look at some of your old performance reviews. Those are always helpful. But you want to find ways that you can redeploy those, I call them, and redeploy those skills into other fields because that gives you the more open, creative mind when it comes to job seeking. So, it broadens your playing field of what might work for you and what you might be able to do. So consider those talents that you have, being able to just shift them into a different field. You're not reinventing yourself. You may have to add more certifications or ramp up some skills. And believe me, this is a great time to do that there's amazing, tremendous resources on online learning right now available virtually that you can tap into. Even LinkedIn Learning has some terrific opportunities for you to see what might work in this arena. So that's what I really encourage people to do, is open up your eyes and be creative when you think about your work and what job you might look for today.
Makes sense. And I believe you've worked from home for many years.
Yeah. Now, trust me, Joe, I did work in-house for, a couple of decades. I know what it's like to have to show up at work. But trust me, I work harder than I ever worked when I had to show up for work at 9 o'clock, because sometimes I couldn't barely get myself there by 10 o'clock. Now I start working around 5:30 in the morning. So I find the joy of setting my own schedule has really empowered me to be a better worker and a more efficient worker. And I think that's what happens when we shift to working remotely. And for many people, and I think you may have mentioned this to me before we kicked off here, is that, you've had to shift to working from home. And a lot of people, it is really a big change, and it does, not everyone's hardwired to do it. So you need to, but we've had to, right? So yes. It's hard to make an argument to any employer or hiring manager that you don't know how to do it now.
I've picked up about between 15 and 20 hours a week, not spending it in my car. So it's to your point, wow. It's a great, great, great productivity boost right there. Great opportunity to do a lot of different things.
Isn't that perfect? Well, we didn't even get into in the early question, the core savings that someone has from working from home. And yes, you may have some more office things, a few things that may ramp up some costs of doing business out of your house. But the commuting costs are reduced and all of that, even wardrobe. I do write in great pajama jobs that maybe you just need pajamas, though I do advise everyone to get out of their pajamas when they go to work, really.
Absolutely. Makes a big difference. And I noticed that you recommend that people do some soul searching to really figure out, as you mentioned, if they're hardwired to work remotely. How does someone know if they're a good fit for working virtually?
Yeah, that is a great question, Joe. An issue that many people have, it comes down to, some people really thrive on social interaction. They really want to, they love having coworkers around them, and it inspires them. It charges up their creativity and their ability to come up with solutions. They like the brainstorming. We can all do this virtually, absolutely, with Zoom meetings and various other platforms, Skype and so forth. But the truth is they really miss that human connection, and it can be very lonely. So I don't believe that it has to be that way, but it is a big adjustment for many people, that lack of social physical interaction in that way, just being able to pop into a coworker's cubicle or office and tell a joke, something that kind of just shifts the movement of your day. And they often get burned out because another type of personality, really just wants to prove that they can do it, that they're performing, and they don't want anyone to second guess that they're not getting their job done. So they they don't draw that boundary between work and home life or personal life, and they get sucked into just working and working and not learning how to step back and step away. And that can be really difficult psychologically.
That's a great point. And Carrie, for people who are working from home now, what are some of your tips on how to be successful and happy working virtually?
I think the most important thing we do, okay, so, you know, we talked in the last question a little bit about the soul searching and really getting a sense of who you are as a person and as a worker. One of the things that an older worker truly does bring to the table here is we tend to be really good communicators. We have strong writing skills and verbal skills and so forth. And we have big networks. We have a lot of people we can reach out to and ask for help. So what you need to do to be successful, one of the core skills is going to be your communication skills. So the ones I just mentioned are imperative. But if in today's remote working, you can't ignore the technology piece of this, right? We're doing the Zoom interviews. We're doing whatever form of email texting you might do with your, whether it's Slack or your employer has a certain network that you work within. It's very important that you have that ease and comfort with working on these different platforms. And there's no excuse for not being able to do it. It simply takes some practice. So if you're, you know, if you find the technology a bit daunting, a bit excruciating or frustrating, just take a breath and know that this is, your communication skills are really imperative and your employer is going to depend on your ability to communicate that way. So ramp up the tech piece, take the time to learn it, do the tutorials. It can be free. It doesn't have to be a heavy lift. And again, I said LinkedIn Learning has some tutorials right there to help you, but most of the apps also have free tutorials on them. So do that. The second thing besides the communication piece is discipline. You really need to be a disciplined person. That's an important skill. And what I mean by that is that you do know how to set your work hours and you are going to, and this kind of slides into what we were just talking about, boundaries, but set yourself a work schedule. Set yourself that early time before you start work to kind of, in your day, this is your free time, right? It's the time you would be reading the newspaper or having your first cup of coffee in the office. So give yourself, you know, sit down at the computer, turn it on, but give yourself that 15, 20 minutes, whatever you need before you start your day. And then be very clear on what your work day is, the hours, and setting that terms of discipline in that, okay, now I'm going to take a break and schedule 15-minute breaks, periods throughout your day in addition to having a break to eat, because I truly have found sometimes I forget to eat because I get so dragged into what I'm doing that so you need to have personal time. So that's part of the discipline piece. And it's critical that, and I put that in self-care as well as when we're thinking of how to be successful is really taking care of yourself that way. But so it's discipline, it's time management is the other third piece of that. And it's really being learning how to be efficient and not get distracted by what might be going on in your home environment. If you're not in a quiet space where you're working, there might be the doorbell ringing or the phone is calling, or you have other people in your family, especially right now working from home. In order to stay focused and be able to concentrate, it's having that sense of time management. And I find just keeping a paper list helps, but some people, there's some great tools, apps out there that can help you really get a grip on that time management piece of it.
I'm with you with the paper list. I think it works for very well. And I've tried all the digital tools as well. I also should mention I've never, ever forgotten to eat.
And I don't mean just snacking on M&Ms now.
So you mentioned the strong networks that older workers bring to the table. It's so important. And networking itself is such a vital skill. How should people who are working remotely approach networking?
Oh, gosh, this is so, so important. I just have to throw in my favorite little slogan is networking is one letter away from not working. Okay. So it's not one of those things that's expendable. You have got to network and you can't be too cool for school, especially if you are looking for a job. Don't be bashful. Look at everyone you know. It's the only way, and I mean this, that you truly get hired these days is you've got to know somebody who knows somebody or what have you. You have to have some kind of connection to that employer and to have somebody who can refer you. They're not going to get you that job. But if they can get you in the door for that first interview, you can shine and sell yourself at that point. But it truly is getting somebody to give you the inside scoop about who you're going to talk to there, who you can talk to, what the culture is like, and what is out there. And the best way to find out, I love looking at job boards. There's some wonderful ones, especially for remote work. You know, flexjobs.com is one of my favorites. But most people get, that's a great place to do your research. But then you need to go to the company where you want to work or has a job that sounds like something you want and think about, who do I know who works there or who knows somebody who works there? So that involves going to your LinkedIn connections. That's an easy way. If you have your LinkedIn profile, who do you know who works there? Or sometimes you might find them on Facebook or one of your other social media platforms or simply through your alumni group. That's another good way to reach out and find somebody who can help you get in the door. But networking is really, really the heart of job hunting. And again, I encourage people to narrow down. Don't go willy-nilly sending resumes to 25 or 30 companies. Pick 5 or 6 jobs and employers that you really want to do or who you really want to work for. This is a time in life to like, yeah, I believe in this company's mission. I really love the product they make and what it means to our world or whatever it might be, because that comes off when you focus your job search on who you want to work for and why and who you know there. These are 3 great steps to get that ball rolling. But when you get in for the interview, if you can show that passion for that company and their product or service, man, does that go a long way.
Really does. And I know some people who are thinking about retiring before the pandemic, but now they're rethinking it. They want to work longer. They're enjoying the flexibility, as you mentioned, of working from home. What's your advice for someone who wants to create ongoing remote work with their current employer?
Oh, that's great. And the truth is, you know, another real benefit of this remote movement, which, you know, this global movement, Joe, started far before we were all sent home. You know, employers were starting to recognize the benefit of being able to tap on people who didn't live in their home environments or whatever and could work anywhere in the world, and the importance of finding great talent that way. So I think that that opportunity to have that flexibility and for an older worker, the ability to be able to work part-time or on contracts is something what you're looking for. And as you prepare for a period of life where you're going to kind of phase into a retirement, because we know that it's so important. To me, work is not a 4-letter word. You know, work is something that's part of who you are and your identity and what a difference you make in the world. So if you can find a way to continue to work beyond what was the traditional retirement age, even part-time or by contract, and bring in some income, that's a real financial safety net for you. And because we don't know what our medical costs are going to be down the road, and all kinds of other variables in our life. And many people haven't saved adequately for retirement. So as being able to stretch out your work is really important, and doing it remotely is one great way that it solves a problem for employers and for you as well, because you don't have to be the terrible grind that you might have had commuting to work and long days or whatever. You can shift that so that it fits into a work-life balance a little bit better at this stage in your life. But what you can do with your employer, your current employer, and many don't expect that a lot are going to have a formal program for phasing into a retirement or letting you work remotely from home as you move forward. But many of them do and have for some time, but it's on a manager by manager choice. So it's really working with your individual manager about how can I make this work and proving to them how you've been successful in the past doing this, and setting up a meeting with them where you say, hey, you know, I'd like to continue doing it this way. Maybe if you're at the stage where you want to reduce your hours and do it on a different, more flexible time plan, one thing you can do is pick up projects that no one else wants to do. That's always a great way, because they'll be thrilled to have you do it. And secondly, you want to give them a trial period. Let's try this out for 6 months. Now you've already been doing it for 6 months, right? But maybe you can say moving forward, or maybe a shorter time period, let's review this after a month and see how it's working out for both of us. Because what it comes down to, Joe, is truly trust. And it's if your hiring manager or your employer trusts you that you are getting your work done and you're making them shine, because remember, it's always about them. It's not about you. It's really true. So I think that's really what you can do is is really find a way to talk to them on an individual basis about how you can make it work for them and constantly reviewing that.
And in my years in HR, I can assure you there's always a way around a policy, and there's always a way to strike individual arrangements, particularly on something like this, which is really about flexible work. There are some benefits restrictions, obviously, that lead to the phased retirement programs being scarcer than we'd all like. But I think that's great advice because there are ways to negotiate. There are ways to create it.
Yeah, and it goes back to that communication piece. It's let's be upfront. This is what I can do for you from here, and let's see how it's working out. And once we all are back having the capability to go in and out of the office to a certain extent, you know, make sure you build in that FaceTime still. Yes, I think virtual FaceTime is fine, but when you can actually go and meet someone for coffee or stop by, those kinds of real-time, real physical interactions are really great to continue having a relationship be strong and being part of a team. Because often it's if you're working not such an independent worker, but maybe you are working on a team-based project, that involves a whole other set of, you know, staying connected with your team and making sure you have this sort of interaction, not necessarily even over periodically during the day or about a project, but even talking about things that aren't work-related, because that's what we do in the office that builds those bonds.
Very true. And your latest book highlights that it's not just the hard skills, those technical skills that are needed to do a job that employers are focused on. What else should people pay attention to when preparing for a job search targeting virtual work?
Oh my gosh, there's so many great soft skills that particularly in any age range, this is really important. One of the things, and I'm going to kind of go through a list of a few of them, just ticking them off, but one is someone who can be an analytical thinker. Employers want people who think logically. And so if you can demonstrate that you can quickly size up a situation and come to a fact-based decision, it's important. They look for communication, which is a soft skill, which we talked about, oral and written. They want someone who's confident. Being confident really indicates that you can take initiative, that you don't need a lot of hand-holding. That's critical. And cooperation, especially when you're not in an office eyeballing somebody, the importance of having somebody who has the ability to be a team player, is willing to be a team player, and really gets along with colleagues and coworkers and managers and not so competitive that it impedes on that. They want someone who is a creative thinker, right? Even if you're not, you know, a graphic designer, they want you to be able to think creatively as situations change. And in a job, maybe you're on a project, but conditions change. The client wants something different. Well, you've got to be able to creatively move, you know? And this is one of my favorite things, curiosity. I even find that when you go on job interviews, if you're an experienced worker, one way to fight back on ageism is to use this word, I'm really curious about how your team dealt with this project, or I'm really curious. When you are a curious person, it indicates that you're youthful. Isn't that awful? But it does. Sure. That you're energized, that you're looking forward, that you're looking for solutions, that you're open to new ways of doing things, which is something an older worker often gets a bias that hiring managers think they're not. They want to do things the way they've always been done and aren't willing to try new ways of doing things. So creativity and curiosity and flexibility, those are all sort of, and gosh, this is a good one. Learning, the ability, someone who really shows that they have this hunger to continue to learn new things. And that kind of fits into that whole creativity thing and not doing things the same way. But it's a mindset and it's hard, it's a soft skill. So the way you showcase that is that, you know, you indicate some new things that you've added, especially during this time when we've been at home, any new certifications or you know, lectures, you know, throwing in topics about lectures you attended or books you read, but courses you took are always helpful, or webinars, things that indicate that you always, lifelong learning is not negotiable these days. And this is perhaps my favorite, is listening. So often we get caught up in feeling anxious, and particularly if you're a remote worker, that you have to be proving yourself all the time. And yes, you do, but you certainly aren't necessarily have to be the one with all the answers. And so you need to learn and indicate to the hiring manager that you are a good listener, that you pause. And often when I give talks, I'll show a picture when I'm talking about listening of my yellow Labrador Retriever Zena, who is actually on the cover of Great Pajama Pajamas.
I remember. I show
a picture of her looking at me with those soulful eyes of hers, listening intently to what I have to say. And that's what you should put in your head as your image, although she's probably really just waiting for a treat. But that's what I use.
That's a great one. We have two black labs here.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. My wife trains them for the seeing eye. Guide dogs for the blind. I did as well. But listening is so important. Now, I was wondering if I could ask you one last question before we close. You were kind enough to join us 2 years ago on our podcast. And one of the things we talked about then was Carrie's fitness plan. And I think it's so important these days, if not more than ever. Could you share with people who perhaps didn't hear it or aren't familiar with it, what's Carrie's fitness plan and why is that so vital now?
Oh my gosh, you are a man after my own heart this morning. That is exactly my favorite thing to talk about, Carrie's fitness program. So I think this is good for almost anything we do in life. But when you are looking for work, particularly a certain age where you are, well, you know, at any age, it's stressful and it can be rejections and all that thing can really get to you. But there's three things, and particularly here, if we were talking earlier about, let's be creative about what kind of work we're actually looking for. How do we redeploy our skills to a new arena? How do we transition to a different kind of career or a different kind of work? These kinds of things require a couple of key components. And there are three things. There's financial fitness, right? That sort of money is the biggest dream killer, right? It's the biggest stumbling block to whether you want to start your own business or whether you want to shift to a new career, where whether you may not make as much initially as you did in your previous job, that you may catch up, but you may not initially when you're new to a field. Secondly, if you're starting your own business, you may have to self-fund that and you might not be able to pay yourself initially. And so financial fitness is key. And I mean by that, you go like most people groan when I say this, but do a budget. Just sit down and do it. How do you spend your money? How can you cut back? How can you get lean and mean in a way that allows you that flexibility to, you know, you pay down some credit card debts, or maybe you can, depending on your life stage, move to a smaller home. Maybe it's in the same town you live in, or maybe you want to move to a town where the cost of living is less. And also taking a look at, and this is a deeper dive, but things like when you're in this financial realm, how can you look at your investment portfolio and your savings? I encourage people to try to have, you know, a year's worth of savings that's in cash equivalents like CDs or money market funds and things so that you or high yield savings accounts so that you're not dependent on finances exclusively to be able to make this shift. And it gives you a certain amount of empowerment. So financial security, financial fitness, it takes time. This does not happen overnight. The second piece of it is physical fitness. And this is important because job hunting is stressful. And also ageism, if you're at a certain age, is real. And I have so many people often ask me, you know, should I get Botox or should I dye my hair? And I'm like, well, gosh, you know, if you want to, absolutely. But truthfully, if you get physically fit, and that's like, I walk my dog several miles a day, but maybe it's swimming or doing some sort of walking, anything you do a couple times a week and eating with an eye to nutrition, when you're physically fit, people don't know what it is, but they want to be around you. You exude this energy, this positivity, this can-do spirit, and it sparks. It shows it's this vitality is something that it comes from within, and it's also this level of physical fitness that really helps you in so many things in your life. But so now you've got financial fitness, you've got physical fitness, and the last one is spiritual fitness. And that's not woo-woo religion and all of that, which is fine. But what I'm talking about here is having some sort of ballast in your life, a place that you can center yourself during this process of job hunting or shifting or trying to shift to remote work or whatever it might be in your work world that's changing, but where you can quiet down and just be calm. And it is stressful. So maybe it's yoga or Tai Chi or mindful meditation. And of course, I have to throw in walking my dog in the country helps me with it. But you find what works for you. But there are several, you know, there are ways to incorporate that into your life as well. So I really appreciate you asking that question, Joe, because it takes time to make a transition. It's a process, this job hunting thing, this as we move to different ways of how we learn how to work these days. So, you know, be kind to yourself, but this fitness program really are some core things that you can work on.
Well, thank you for sharing, because it really does bring people to action, and they're across all those three, and so important. Carrie, thank you so much for taking time to walk everyone through this. It's a great book, as expected, given your other books, and very helpful, very practical, specific knowledge and tips that people can benefit from.
Well, thank you so much. This was a real treat.
Thanks, Carrie. Have a good day. Really appreciate Carrie Hannon taking the time to join us again today. And before I highlight a few things that jumped out to me in our conversation, just want to mention that her book is a great resource for anyone who is working virtually or considering doing so more in the future. It has great advice on how to do so, but she also provides a lot of specific information on the demand for remote workers, the specific jobs where demand is growing, the industries in which it is thriving, and specific companies that are regarded as among the best for remote workers. So highly recommend the book as a resource. A few things that she mentioned caught my attention. First, talking about working virtually as a way to fight against ageism. Thought that made a lot of sense. And she made the point that it really is a way to let your performance and your productivity shine and really be the basis for how you're judged. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. She also talked about the need to stay current and really to continuously learn, because the job market and the business world continue to be highly dynamic and are constantly changing. Third, to really think not only about the skills that employers are looking for in terms of the ability to do a job, technical skills or so-called hard skills, but also to really be thinking about the soft skills that are so important. She highlighted a number of them: analytical thinking, communication, confidence, cooperation, collaboration, creative thinking, etc. And not only to be aware of that that's part of the process, part of the selection, but also to look for ways in which to showcase your abilities in those areas and what you're doing and have done and can do in the future into interview conversations. So that was, I think, very valuable for people to consider. And then she also talked about the skills that are really important to excel at virtual work. And there were numbers she highlighted, communication skills, but also to really take the time to be comfortable with the technological tools. And I can also vouch for that. It takes practice. And that's something that takes time, but there's so many resources out there to continue to learn, but it makes a difference. So invest the time on that. And then finally, she also talked about you really have to be disciplined, be able to set your own boundaries, set your own schedule, know when to really get started in terms of initiative, but also when to take time for yourself and self-care. Also very valuable advice. And then finally, Carrie's fitness program, the three-part plan, making sure during a transition you're thinking about your financial fitness, your physical fitness, and the vitality part of the equation, and then finally, your spiritual fitness, which she talked about really being centered, having a place where you can center yourself during change. Great advice, and we appreciate you taking the time to listen to this episode of the Retirement Wisdom Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.